Where you at, Lokes? Givers, and there's takers. The crazy thing is, the givers inherit the earth. You want to grow your business? It's not about taking more money from customers. It's about giving more value in exchange for the money from your customers. It's about giving value. See, we learned this in Sunday school, that it's better to give than to receive. Think about that. At age 6, you were given the secret to business. And yet we then had to grow up, and we had to buy books, and we had to go to college, and we had to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to understand that the secret to business was what they taught you in Sunday school. That it's better to give than to receive. Now, The Science of Getting Rich, the book, teaches on this idea that you want to give people more in use value than you ask for them in monetary value. It's a beautiful thing about a podcast or a YouTube clip or a book. Blows my mind that people won't spend $20 on a book. Blows my mind that people will wallow and sit in ignorance and not spend money on books. If you're not spending $100 to $200 a month on self-education, you deserve to be poor, my opinion. I don't know how you would maintain your skills in whatever job or career or path that you have without consistently learning. If you're a salesman, you should be constantly learning, because society changes. New generations respect different things, and you have to sell to these people. If you're a 60-year-old salesman, hey, you're going to have to sell to a 25-year-old millennial. And you can't insult them and expect to get sales, right? And so we have to learn the younger generation. My case, I speak with people that are in their 20s, and sometimes I'm on the phone with someone in their 70s. And I have to respect the differences in people. It's part of the sales process. Understanding your customer, right? And we don't want an adversarial relationship. Now, I try to do things to shortcut the sales process, and that I target people that are already interested in what it is I sell. So if I'm selling swimming pool, you know, products, then obviously I want to go to people that have a swimming pool. Just seems to make sense, right? Now, while that may seem obvious, sometimes the obvious is kind of like common sense. Common sense isn't always so common. So in Sunday school, we learned this secret to doing business, that it's better to give than to receive. And so if you're in network marketing, this is what people miss in my industry. Even if you're not in network marketing, you should be, because network marketing connects you with people. It connects you with people who want more out of life. That's why they're even looking at this silly, dumb business. And I said silly, dumb. It is silly and dumb. But it's how all business is done. There used to be a time where people would insult people that were involved in network marketing. Now the entire world distributes, moves around social media, which is people exchanging information, which is the exact business model of network marketing. News comes out. How is it distributed? Through a chain of network marketers. Hey, did you see this? You see this? And they share it on Facebook, and they post it on Instagram, and they put it on Pinterest, and they share it on YouTube, and they share it viral. And now we've accepted this idea of virality for news and for insults and for politics. Oh, but don't do it for a vitamin. That's not good. See, I stopped caring what people said on that. I just stopped. I stopped trying to recruit my friends and family and people who seemed somewhat concerned by that. And I just targeted people who wanted what I had. And so I began to say, I'm only looking for people who are looking for me. And I believe that one of the keys to success in business and in life is to create a philosophy behind what it is you do. And so I created this philosophy around my business, and I called it the money flow. And I created a book and a postcard and an ad, and connected it to a PO box and a website, and I made all these tools match. And I pointed prospects to my system, and my system was to capture their name and address. I made them call me. I'm not chasing them. I'm not begging them. I make them call me. I won't act till they act. And so every day people would call my phone number. Now this is old school marketing. I didn't send them to a website, and if I did send them to a website, they still had to call me. Why? Because I don't want lazy people. I want people who are willing to take some initiative, pick up a phone. If you're not willing to pick up a phone, I don't want to do business with you. And so I began to control the sales process. Now I still guided people, still talk with people with respect, still go through all the traditional type of selling things, but I'm only looking for a certain people. So I created a strategy and a system, a philosophy, if you will, that began to sort and select people. And so while I'm doing bubbles and bath with the kids, while I'm working on my other business, while I'm working on my real estate business, while I'm researching stocks, my postcard is pitching my network marketing deal. My magazine ad is pitching my network marketing deal. My voicemails, my hotlines, when they call and listen and they listen to my 2-minute pitch, it's doing the work. Some of these I wrote and recorded 15 years ago, and they still to this day generate leads and prospects every single day. And the people calling have been in program after program after program after program while watching me do the exact same thing every single day. Some of you listening to this right now are with me or have been with me or have seen my ads or have read my books, bought my stuff, and you're still jumping from program to program to program, get rich quick scheme to get rich quick scheme, affiliate marketing, this and that, and you're not getting anywhere. And no one knows who you are. You don't have a philosophy. Your philosophy changes based on the opportunity. But I began to realize that everything was the same. The way I conducted my real estate business was the same way I conducted my network marketing business. It was the same way that I built my internet email marketing business. It was the same way that I ran my family. And I began to live and to market and produce content and products based around this idea of the money flow. The money flow. And I wrote a book called The Money Flow. I didn't get any permission. I didn't ask my mom. I didn't ask a college professor. I didn't call the governor. I didn't ask the president. I didn't ask anybody. Permission. No one. I just wrote a book. I gave me permission to just write a book. And it's not perfect. And there's misspellings. And there's been misspellings for 14 years on the same page. And people point it out to me all the time. And I don't give a damn. Don't care. Because I wrote it then. It's done. Not rewriting it. Think of the liberty in that. Think of that. And for 14 years, this book has produced hundreds of thousands of dollars in book sales for 14 years. From a book with misspelled words, run-on sentences, fragmentations, and all sorts of errors, for 14 years has generated in excess of hundreds of thousands in book sales every year, month in, month out. Based around a philosophy. And I've shared this philosophy from day one, from its original conception of a booklet, with hundreds of thousands of Americans. And almost all of them, blow it off, cursory read, sit in poverty and spend no time studying it. And I give them, here's this book, it can work for you. And that's based on if you help enough other people get what they want, you'll get what you want. And so I said, hey, I want to sell some of my books. I want to sell some of my ideas and my strategies. How do I do that? I can't personally sell to everyone. And so I created an affiliate program around my books, around my product. And the main product that I tried to produce was Opportunity Seeker Leads. I have a gift to find like-minded people. I was able to go out into the marketplace, run ads, generate all of these names and leads of people who are interested in this idea of a work from home type business. And I would then take these leads and sell them to people who were involved in that industry, people who own network marketing programs, people who were promoting, and I would sell the product that I generated, which was leads. And in my office, we would confirm the address, we would sort and we would select, make sure it's a legitimate person, we would file and document this address, and then we could sell that to other people, other mailers. And that was the business. And I realized in order to do something with these names, you need a philosophy. And I began to try to create informational products that I would give to the people who bought my leads and say, listen, here's how you use these leads to get rich. And I would share it with them. But the people you're sharing with have to want the information. The other day I talked about this idea. It's okay to have, most people are bosses. We have very few true leaders, but to be a leader, you have to have people who want to follow, right? And so people come into this wacky industry, they want to create a business, but the business they're trying to create, they're creating to serve themselves and not other people. First, the business has to serve other people before you get paid. And so until you take the business off of you and put the focus on other people, you will never make a dollar. And if you do, you got lucky and you won't keep it. Business is about other people. And so if you've been trying to create a business from home, who are you serving? One of the things I've figured out is the second you decide to become someone bigger than you were last month, the moment you make this decision, resistance steps in. See, it uses the oldest trick on earth to get you. It begins to create all sorts of ridiculous rules and ideas around it. So if you say, hey, I'm going to join this and I'm going to promote this and I'm going to make some money, all of a sudden, all that negativity from your friends and your family and all this stuff starts to come in. Then you start hearing things like, well, this means I need to start seeing some results. Now, you haven't earned the results. You haven't served anyone else, but you want to start seeing results. You see, your mind starts playing tricks with you. People don't understand that the closer you move to free, the more money comes in. People don't make money in music who don't like playing music. You don't become a professional basketball player until you've played the game for about 10 to 12 years for free. The greatest people in our society did it for free first. But we have a whole lot of people running around wanting to get paid and they haven't served the first person. They haven't served anyone. They're seeking to serve themselves. And as long as you seek to serve yourself first, you will never make it. That's not how it works, man. It's not how it works. This is part of the money flow. Once you understand this concept, these ideas that you learned in Sunday school that it's better to give than to receive, and if that's true, and if you help enough other people get what they want, you'll get what you want, and if that's true, remember Tony Robbins used to teach the idea, if you want to get rich, find a problem and solve it. Find a problem and solve it. Resistance steps in when you decide to change, to become a different person. Go around, tell a couple of your friends, do this. I do this a lot. Look at your friend, look at your neighbor when you're having a conversation and just try to squeeze this in. Just look at them and say, I think I'm going to try to get rich. Watch the reaction to your friends when you say this. This is why I don't have any friends. Look at your friends and say, no, bro. This $50,000 a year thing, I'm not going to do this for long. I'm getting rich. I've been saying that since I was making nothing. I used to get laughed at when I worked at the prison because I'd tell them, man, this working at the prison thing ain't for me. I'm going to do it for now. I'm doing it to pay my bills. Wages are fine for paying your bills, but profits are what make you rich, and there's no profits in the prison, so I have to create something on the side. I have to begin doing something with the other 16 hours in my life. I need 8 to sleep, 8 to work, and I got 8 more, and I'll squeeze in seeing my wife and kids, but in the meantime, I need to get paid. And I began to control my time. I realized that in the Bible, God worked 6 days and took the seventh day off. What the hell am I doing working 5? And I realized I needed to create 8 days. 7 wasn't enough. And so I got up a little earlier. I worked a little later and I began to work 2 full-time jobs. One was my job. I got paid wages. The other was my business that was going to produce the profits. And I began to work more on it I began to work harder on me than I did on my job. And people say this idea. See, the reason I gravitated to network, and I don't care if you do network marketing, the reason I gravitated to it, the cost of entry was nothing. It's like $50 and I'm in. Now I just got to figure out how to get a lot of other people in, right? It was like when I ran my first ad and I asked for $2 in the ad and someone sent me $2 and I lost $100 on the ad. I spent $100 and I collected $2. Now I just got to figure out how to get the other $98. I've proven that it works. I just got to figure out how to get the other $98. How do I get my ads to be free? And that's what I figured out. See, the big success came for me, the big breakthrough came for me, was when I learned how to recruit people without talking to people. And then I learned how to train those people and get those people duplicating the process without really talking to me. I'm doing bubbles and bath. I'm building my real estate thing. I'm researching stocks. I'm working all of my other businesses, and this stuff is running on autopilot because I put in time and I put in work. See, once you write a book, the book sells over and over and over and over. Once you create the card, you just mail the card. The card sells over and over and over. Once you've recorded the recording pitches it over and over and over. See, once you build the foundation of the house, it's built. Now, you may have to keep painting the house or have to keep doing some maintenance. I got to keep calling people, sure enough. I got to spice up some things. Every once in a while, I got to change some things. But the foundation's been laid, man. I'm not reinventing the wheel, but sometimes you got to buy new tires, right? And so I created this philosophy called the money flow. See, the reason you haven't had any success in your business ventures, you don't have a philosophy. You have a philosophy of you trying to get money, not a philosophy of you trying to serve other people. This is why I don't like this idea. Well, follow your passion. Follow your passion is about you. Follow your passion has nothing to do with helping me. Get it? Now, your passion may help me, but when we present it, this is my question to you. How does your passion help me? And if you can't answer that question, then your passion is bullshit. It's only for you. And you isn't how you get rich. You serving other people is how you get rich. And so how does your passion help me? That's the question. People will get these silly ideas. They get a new venture going. They want to start doing something. And all of a sudden, you need justification to keep it going. So like maybe I need 100 listeners a day or I don't do this podcast. But do I? Why do I need to let other people define what I do? Maybe it just takes time. Maybe I just need to work it out. Maybe I just need to find my tone, find my message, and figure it out what it is I'm actually trying to accomplish. And maybe, just maybe, that's going to take some time. But we live in a world of simple-minded people. And you need to understand that. You need to understand the people you're trying to deal with. See, all of the money you want is in the pockets, purses, wallets, checkbooks of other people. And those people will lie to you. This is why you have to work on your mind. Because your customers will lie right to you. But the moment you begin to work on your mind and begin to expand your vision and yourself and you become bigger than the room you're in, the universe is going to conspire to open up that room, open up doors for you, but resistance will come in. And it plays the oldest trick in the world. It begins to put limitations and put rules. Well, if you don't make any money this month, well, then this is dumb. Is it? Maybe it was in 2 months when you were going to start making money. Maybe you cut yourself short right before you got to the gold. You stopped digging. A lot of people do that. You ever read the book Acres of Diamonds? The reason resistance plays tricks on you is because of the ego. Ego gets mad when you're trying to break free, when you're trying to do something different. Ego hates change and it tries to counter your ambitions through time, but your time is not God's time. Bruce Lee's famous for saying, I don't fear a man who can do 1,000 kicks. I fear the man who's done a single kick 1,000 times. Because Bruce Lee understood that repetition is the mother of skill. Repetition. Repetition is the mother of skill. When you decide to do something great, I promise you, resistance will step in. You'll begin to create rules and situations in your own mind to justify yourself quitting. Well, I did this twice. Well, you know, I followed up with that customer one time. I'm like embarrassed when I say these things. When I repeat back to people, their efforts. Because I talk to people all the time and I'm like, hey, did you follow up with that customer? Did you do this? And they say, yeah, one time. I'm literally embarrassed for them when they say it to me, because I realize how small an effort that is, how tiny they're thinking, and how much they have inside of them, and they just refuse to tap into it. They refuse to step up into that. And I know why, because the moment you decided to do something bigger than you, resistance came in. And you began to put all these little things on you. Well, I can't do that. I don't want to bug the customer. I don't want to call them more than once. And here's the funny thing. They don't even know you exist. You can't bug people. You can't follow up too much. There's no such thing.